ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Kulchan chapter 2 verses 16 to 20. Nasato vidyate bhavah, nasato vidyate bhavah, na bhavo vidyate satah, na bhavo vidyate satah, ubayorapi drishtomtah, twanayostatva dharshivihi, nasato vidyate bhavah, na bhavo vidyate satah, ubayorapi drishtomtah, त्वनयोस्तत्व दर्शिभिः। अन्तवन्त इमे देहाः नित्यस्योक्ता शरीरिनः अनाशिनो प्रमेयस्य तस्माद्युद्यस्व भारत अन्तवन्त्रैमे देहाः नित्यस्योक्ता शरीरिनः अनाशिनोप्रमेयस्य तस्माद्युद्यस्व भारत। Yeah, I left one verse, right? So we chant 17 and then 18. Avinashitu tad vritti, avinashitu tad vritti, ena sarvamidam tadam, ena sarvamidam tadam, vinashamavyayasyasya, nakaschit kartum arhati, avinashitu tad vritti, ena sarvamidam tadam, vinashamavyayasyasya, नगश्चित् कर्तुम् अर्हति। अन्तवन्त इमे देहाः नित्यस्योक्ता शरीरिनः अनाशिनो प्रमेयस्य तस्माद्युद्यस्व भारत अन्तवन्त इमे देहाः नित्यस्योक्ता शरीरिनः अनाशिनो प्रमेयस्य तस्माद्युद्यस्व भारत। यएनं वेति हन्तारं यश्चैनं मन्यते हतम् उभौ तौ न विजानीतः नायं हन्ति न हन्यते यएनं वेति हन्तारं यश्चैनं मन्यते हतम् उभौ तौ न विजानीतः नायं हन्ति न हन्यते न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचित् न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचित् नायं भूत्वा भविता वा न भूयः नायं भूत्वा भविता वा न भूयः अजो नित्यशाश्वतोऽयं पुराणः अजो नित्यशाश्वतोऽयं पुराणः न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचित् नायं भूत्वा भविता वा न भूयः अजो नित्यशाश्वतोऽयं पुराणः न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे। Lord Krishna started off his sermon in verse number 11. When he started off his sermon, the Bhagavad Gita, he said, "Wise people, do not grieve for those whose breath is gone, those whose breath has come." Somebody who is born or gone, they don't grieve for. Why they do not grieve for? Because they have Atma, Anatma, Viveka. They know what is Atma, what is the real nature of Atma, who you are essentially, and the Anatma, the material component. They understand the difference between the spirit and matter, and each one of us are essentially the spirit. And in 12 he said, Natve Raham Jatu Nasam Natvam Neme Janadipah. Never indeed was I not, nor you, nor none of these rulers will ever cease to be. They have always been. In short, he is saying, Atma, the real nature, is always there, eternal. It is Nitya. The I was there before, the I is there now, the I will continue to be there in future also. Before the physical body was born, the I was there. While the physical body exists, the I is there. Even after the physical body is dead and gone, the I continues to be there. And then he continues to explain by saying that when a person moves from Balyam stage to from childhood stage to boyhood stage, then from boyhood stage to youthhood stage, from youthhood stage to old age, the I continues. The modifications, the changes are only happening to the body, but the I continues. And when the body is given away, it moves from one gross body to another gross body. There we explain to you that it is not Atma that is moving from one gross body to another, but it is actually the subtle body that is moving from one gross body to the another. Atma is always there and it is everywhere. Therefore there is no question of moving possible. And while you are living in this body and you contact the sense objects, the world, then the experiences are something that comes and goes. Adama Payinaha. They are anitya. The nitya vastu is Atma. Anitya vastu is anything other than Atma. They are all anitya. They have a beginning and an end. They come and go. Now what do you understand when he says they come and go?
Changes.
I gave you the example of anger, for example. Anger is something that comes and goes. A psychologist will tell you when you get angry, that's fine. It's absolutely fine. If you say, you know, I'm getting angry, I lose my control, I get wild, the psychologist will say, it's okay, it's absolutely normal. You know, you will get angry once in a while. It is normal from that level. But if you continue to be angry throughout, then it is not normal. So anger is something that comes and goes. Anything that comes and goes is not your original nature. That which always is your original nature. And one who is able to be balanced in heat and cold, pleasure and pain, in any pairs of opposites, that person is one who is qualified for gaining moksha, liberation, for gaining a higher salvation, freedom. This is what he said till 15. In 16 he says, 16 is a very important verse, off-quoted verse. It's a little tricky verse, we need to understand it correctly. He says, Nasato vidyate bhavaha నాభావో విద్యతే సతః ఉభయోరపి దృష్టోంతః త్వమయోస్తత్వదర్శిభిః. తత్వ దర్శిభిః మీన్స్ ద సీయర్స్ ఆఫ్ ట్రూత్. దే మే బి సీన్ ది అపేరెంట్ వరల్డ్ బట్ దే డోంట్ గెట్ ఎనామర్డ్ బై వాట్ దే సీ. ఇన్ అండ్ త్రూ వాట్ దే సీ దే పర్సీవ్ ద ట్రూత్ ఓన్లీ. When we see, we don't perceive the truth. We get carried away by the perception. They don't get carried away by the perception. They go by the truth. They have the, it's like the microscope, which is able to see the things which cannot be seen by naked eye. So we don't see the truth. They see the truth only, nothing else. So perception mein farak padta hai. The difference is in the perception. And it makes all the difference. For example, Stephen Covey says in one of his books, a person was traveling in a train and it was a peaceful journey until in a particular station, a father with two children boarded the train. And the children were running and making so much of noise. So this guy got so annoyed and he looked up to this gentleman and said, "Are they your children?" He says, "Yes." "Can't you see they are running here and there and making so much of noise? We were traveling quite peacefully till now. Why don't you tell them to keep quiet?" So the man told, it seems, "Yes, I'm just thinking whether to tell them to keep quiet or not. I don't know how to tell that also, because we're just coming from my wife, that is their parents, their mother's funeral. So I'm thinking whether I should tell them to keep quiet." Immediately this man said, "No, let them be." Perception difference. Now the children don't disturb him anymore, even though they're making noise. So you may wonder, why do we need this perception that he's giving in this verse? Once you've got this perception, you've got this vision, you've got this knowledge, there is no problem. Until you haven't got this vision, you haven't got this knowledge, any kind of solution can only temporarily solve it, if at all, not permanently. So he says, he talks about sat and asat here. We need to understand these things very clearly, what he's saying. Asat should not be, so in other words, let me first go to the translation of the verse. It says, the unreal has no existence. The real never ceases to be. The common example that is given, which we can take up, is horns of a man. Horns of a man doesn't exist. Something that doesn't exist, why do we talk about, do we ever talk about something that doesn't exist? You talk about something for 1 hour and then say, all that I spoke about till now doesn't exist. So don't bother. You say, what has gone wrong with this guy? Send him to an asylum. Why talk about somebody who's never existed in life? So nobody will talk about something that has never existed. So what he's saying here is the difference between sat and mithya. Satya and mithya he's trying to bring here. Satya means something that has always been, never ceases to be. He doesn't say it always is. He only says it never ceases to be. He puts it in a negative way. I asked you to think about it last week. I said, let us discuss it this week. So did you think about why he puts it in a negative way? Instead of saying it is something that has always been there, instead of that, he says it is something that never ceases to be. In the sense, instead of saying it is something that existed in the past, something that exists in the present, something that will continue to exist in the future, he says something that never ceases to be. Why?
Because they will not We're such a natural phenomena that using it was there. Instead of saying it was there in the past and it was there in the future, it's going to be there in the future. And it's there in the present. And it's a thing which is not going to change. And Satya will always remain.
Past, present and future is a concept of mind and it's a concept of time.
Timeless.
Mind and time go together. When you go to sleep, in the deep sleep stage, there is no mind, there is no concept of time also. But in the deep sleep also, Atma is there. So when you say it is something that existed in the past, present and future, you are trying to understand the Atma with reference to time, but Atma is actually something beyond time also. Even time is strictly speaking not eternal. I just now spoke to you in the deep sleep. Time is not there for you. When you are in deep sleep, the concept of time doesn't exist for you. The concept of time exists in dream, the concept of time exists in the waking state. But once you are in the deep sleep state where there is no mind, there is no time also. Like in Atma Udar Bhi Hai. Similarly, after realization, when the mind is dissolved, then also Atma there, time nahi hai. So time also, strictly speaking, is not eternal. Because the problem is, once you try to define something with reference to time, we understand with reference to that. So he says, no, you don't understand it that way. So he puts it negatively. He says, Atma never ceases to be. Even time ceases to be. Right? It's much subtler.
Whatever I thought of, I'm not aware of, I'm just thinking. What is, is there is no time or space when the truth was not or will not be. It is, it's it. Whether it is, whether or not it is seen or felt understood, it is. Whether past, present or future, it is the same. Asat is something that can exist only in temporary changing or passing. It is a body of existence, changeable. Sat can never cease to be because its existence transcends time and space. It cannot be created or destroyed. The Avinashi Atma is smaller than the atom, greater than the cosmos, indestructible, all-pervading and eternal. For me, I think it is energy. Atma,
what is, correct, absolutely right. What we said just now is exactly what you are saying. So, time is something that comes and goes. Atma is something that always is. Therefore, he puts it as something never ceases to be. So, Satya is the existence principle. It has independent existence. Nitya is something that has borrowed existence. So he is not talking about something that doesn't exist. He is talking about something that seems to be existing now, but in real it is only an apparent existence, a borrowed existence, but not real existence. So, like for example, gold is independently existing, it's independent of its modifications, form, shape, etc. Bangle, chain, necklace. Whether it has been made into bangle, chain, necklace or not, it continues to exist as gold. Even when it has been made into bangle, gold and chain, chain, necklace, etc., then also the gold continue to exist. So it has independent existence, whereas this is a dependent existence. Bina gold, bangle is not possible. Bina gold, chain is not possible. So nitya is something that comes and goes. It is an incidental existence. It's a borrowed existence. Right? Something that comes has to go. Something that is, will ever be, always be. For example, silence. Silence is there before the sound, after the sound, during the sound also. It is just that during the sound, you don't, you are not conscious of it. But it is there. Silence pervades the sound. Silence is not absence of sound. You become conscious of it when the sound is absent. Like the sound that is coming from the AC humming noise now, compared to that, we are making much louder noise, so you are not conscious of it. Once I stop talking, you become conscious of it. But even while I am talking, it is there. So, it is something that pervades, in fact, that is the adhara, that is the support. So, nitya is something that comes and goes, satya is something that is always there. So he spoke about Atma, our original nature, essential nature as Nitya. And now he spoke about our original nature as Satya. Atma is eternal. Atma is real. Atma is the only thing that is real, which pervades past, present and future. Something never ceases to be imperishable. We'll chant verse number 17. Avinashitu tadviddhi, avinashitu tadviddhi, yena sarvam idam tatam, yena sarvam idam tatam, vinasham avyayasyasya, vinasham avyayasyasya, nakaschit tattum arhati, nakaschit tattum arhati, avinashitu tadviddhi, ena sarvam idam tatam vinasham avyayasyasya nakaschit kartum arhati. Know indeed that to be indestructible. Avinashitu tat vidhi ena sarvam idam tatam, by which all this is pervaded. Know that. Know that means know that Atma, your original nature, which is eternal and satyam, to be indestructible, avinashi. It is something that is indestructible and something that pervades everything. Anything you see is nothing but Atma. It is pervaded by Atma. None can cause the destruction of this imperishable. In other words, so far it is not destroyed, but in future somebody can find out some equipment or method by which this could be destroyed. For example, if somebody has been a winner so far, has never lost, like they say in tennis, the last 3 years, all the tournaments that he went and played, he has won, he has never lost. Or they say he has never lost even one set, always he has won straight sets. Such records people make. But they also, after a few years, maybe 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, having been number one for so many years, after 5th year or 6th year, I don't know, whenever the record is broken, somebody defeats them. So you may think something which is indestructible so far, but someday there may be some process, some method which people can evolve by which it can be destroyed. He says no. It is not only indestructible now, it can never be destroyed. None can cause the destruction. Because many of us, we think, so far somebody who is more powerful than this fellow has not come. If somebody is more powerful than this fellow comes, then he will lose. So you think it is indestructible as of today, but in future it can be destroyed. No, 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 no. It is something that can never be destroyed. None can cause the destruction of this imperishable. Atma is all pervading, not limited by space also. Earlier he spoke about not limited by time. Now he is talking about not limited by space. And with reference to causation, there is no product in the causation that can bring about its destruction. What is this world made up of? Time, space, causation. You take away time, space, causation, there is no world. Causation is the chain of cause-effect relationship. This table is the effect, tree was the cause. Now this chain continues. So, you take this table for example. This has a cause-effect relationship. It exists in space. It was made on so-and-so date and it expires, it will expire whenever so-and-so date, whenever that is, within time-space causation. So in every object and being in this world, there is time-space causation. But when we talk about Atma, it is beyond time-space causation. Atma is eternal. Atma is all-pervading. Atma is indestructible. There is no product which is caused, which has been caused, which can be caused in future, which can destroy. So, something that pervades everything means what? It has no boundary. It has no beginning, no end. Something that has no beginning, no end, no boundary means something that is formless. Nirakara. There is no?
No form.
No form. It is formless reality. Reality is formless. It is all pervading. It is imperishable. And whenever you hear this word imperishable, avyayam, you must understand one thing. That is, in this world, we are trying to find peace and security in objects and beings, in our experiences. But when you analyze the object, beings and experiences, they are all something that comes into existence and they will perish. Something that is inherently perishable, how can that give you security? That is something we need to think about. Security, real security, can only come from something that is inherently imperishable. Something that is inherently perishable, how can that give you security? You may decide that I will work for 30 years, 40 years, 20 years, I don't know, whatever it is. I will slog it out and then this much money I will have and I retire. Because you calculated abhi kitna chahiye mujhe monthly ke liye with all my other expenses and everything, I needed this much money. To get this much money by a safe return thing, this much money should be in my bank balance, a fixed deposit, whatever. And that I will get in 30, 40 years of work. I'll be able to save it. So when you are just about to retire, you suddenly find the country has devaluated the rupee. the inflation has taken over. So till now you required, let us say, 2 lakhs or 3 lakhs per month for your survival, for which you had put in the bank, I don't know, whatever amount, 30, 40 lakhs, 50 lakhs, whatever it is, you had deposited. So you thought you'll retire safely, few crores of it, let us say, few crores. But by the time they deflated, I mean the inflation and the devaluation and everything happened. So what happened? Now, if you retire, you feel, oh, but this is not?
Not enough.
Not enough. Or, okay, then you say, okay, let me work for another 5 more years and take care of the inflation and everything. By the time you fall sick or something happens and serious operation and this and that, few crores gone in there. So, you thought money can give you security, but money inherently being perishable, how can that give you security? Something that is bound by time, space and causation cannot give you security. Something that is bound by time, space and causation cannot give you security. You know, this happens in our country, when you see sometimes when there is some situation created where the opposition calls for a recall law. What is that they call? They say somebody who gave support from outside for the government, because they don't have majority by themselves, and they withdraw their support from outside. Then they say you have to prove your majority in the parliament. So when they have to prove their majority in the parliament, they are not sure even if their own party men will vote for them. So you hear so many things in the news that all the MLAs and MPs and all these people were taken to a hotel and they were all, you know, made to stay there. You don't know whether your own person will vote or will switch over. You know, when the test comes, you don't know whether it will be something that will prove being on your side or not, isn't it? So the security you believe, or somebody could have taken it away from you, it's all, you know. So in short, what he's saying is asat, this nitya world, if you try to find security, you will be fooling yourself. You can transact in this nitya world, but always only identify with Atma for security. You can play about in this world for practical transactions ke liye. You can play about in this world using your body, mind, intellect, but don't try to fool yourself by trying to find security from it. That's what he's trying to convey here. Like Swami Ramtita says, iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold, but not good enough for providing security. Iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold. So transact with them, understand that iron and gold is mithya, transact with them, deal with them, do whatever you have to do necessarily while you are in it, while you are part of that mithya, but deeply you should have
connection
only with Atma. Then you will not be deceived. Well, there is this beautiful bhajans we sing. Bharosa kar tu Ishwar par, tujhe dhoka nahi तो तुझे रोना नहीं होगा, ये जीवन बीत जाएगा, तुझे धोखा नहीं हो। मीन्स अ ब्यूटिफुल भजन, द सेंस द रियल भरोसा शुड बी ओनली देयर ऑन ईश्वर और आत्मा। इफ यू हैव भरोसा ऑन एनीथिंग एल्स फॉर सिक्योरिटी, यू विल सर्टनली बी प्रूव रॉन्ग। तो चालू से use them for what it is useful for. Don't expect them to provide you the security. They are destructible. They will be destroyed. The destruction of the objects and beings can happen before you or after you. So, avinashitu tat vidhi, no. No should not be taken as knowing it objectively. It is knowing subjectively. Just intellectually you understand. Once you get out, then you immediately start trying to find security in iron and gold. See, a person, for example, in a relative sense also, if you see, as a game, if you are playing in the market, but you never continue to, you never stop working, and you don't depend on the returns that you get from the investments made in the market. Okay? Supposing you are playing like this. You are living within the money that you are making through your work. And the spillover is being invested in the market. Okay? If you are strong, if you had proper foundations in the basics of life, like Shakespeare says, costly thy habit that thy purse can buy. Shakespeare must have really been a great thinker, because he must have thought these fellows will definitely come out with something called as credit card in future. He must have thought about it. Right? So he said, costly thy habit that thy purse can buy, not that thy credit cards can buy. He didn't say that. He's just saying costly thy habits that thy purse can buy. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. It's all there in this book. Select English Poems. Mein, there is this, you know, Swamiji, what he's done is he selected few poems. And this portion is actually part of the advice given by Polonius to his son Laertes. Polonius was the minister of Denmark, and Hamlet was the prince of Denmark in the play Hamlet. And Polonius' son Laertes is going to France for higher studies. So there, at that time, Polonius is giving advice to his son. There he says, costly thy habit that thy purse can buy, neither a borrower nor a lender be. For loan oft loses both itself and friend, and borrowing dulls the edge of husbandry. Now, if you continue to live within your means, and whatever is the spillover, you've made your life simple. The spillover, you're not trying to save. Since you're leading a simple life and continuing to work, what you're getting is much more than what you need. There will be a spillover. You're not scrounging and trying to save. And that spillover, let us say you're investing in market or something, whatever it is. So whether the Sensex goes up or down, you will not have any problem. Okay? But you are invested,
everything
borrowed and invested. There are people who do like that, stupidity. And then in the Sensex goes up and down, they are going up and down, the tension and all that. So you got to practicalize every verse, what he is saying. Of course he is talking with reference to Atman, Brahman and all that, but with reference to our life also, from a relative sense also. How much money you have today vis-a-vis what is your capacity to earn. If this job in hand goes away for whatever reason, your boss doesn't like you or something happens, whatever may be the reason for which they gave you the pink slip, it is not permanent. As long as it is there, well and good. Okay. When something there is not permanent, which can be taken away from you any minute, what can give you that strength can only come from inside. So therefore, what is essential is being employable. Employment, don't try to find security in employment. Make yourself employable. So much. So whether this job is there or not, they should in fact be worried about you leaving them. We only hope this fellow doesn't leave us. You put the, you know, pressure on them back. So if you continue to upgrade yourself, we settle on our laurels, right? Whatever we have already achieved, you just forget it and then stop it. You are not updating yourself. It's like you know, the virus software they give you, right? Antivirus software. They say you got to keep on updating it. Because new viruses these fellows are creating. Therefore, you got to continuously update. So if you say, oh, I have got employment, I have no problem, and you don't upgrade yourself, update yourself, and don't become employable always, then you rely on outside things. So in short, what he is giving message here is, reliance on outside vis-a-vis reliance within. Self-reliance vis-a-vis material reliance. What is strength? The real strength is self-reliance. A country's economy will be strong when there is more export and less input. Yes or no? Less dependence. So what is happening with reference to our personal life, if you see, we are more dependent on the body, mind, intellect and less dependent on the Atma. He is just saying change the equation. You may say, why do we have to study Atma, Satyam, Nityam, Mana? This is the reason, to build that self-reliance. How do you judge whether you are progressing spiritually or not? It's not to find out whether you wake up every day and study, go to temple, whether you take bath and then eat or eat and take bath. These are not the things that per se determine whether you are spiritual. Are you self-reliant or material reliant? That's the point. The seven steps to success from Ramtita talks about, out of that one of the things he emphasizes is self-reliance. So from this we need to practicalize this verse into our daily living, every verse for that matter. All that we are studying, of course he's talking the highest philosophy here. He's talking about Atma, Anatma, Viveka, to get that, all that. But having understood that, how do you live in this life? Your focus should be on being employable rather than the employment in hand. When you are somebody who is employable and not dependent on employment, you are not a slave to the time. You are dependent on your employment, then the employer will tell you, listen, I want you to work for 2 more hours. Then you do not know what to do. Right? You continue to become a slave. How do we become slaves? This is how we become slaves. We have become slave today because we have not understood the difference between Atma and Anatma. And because of ignorance, all our investments are in Anatma. There is not even one single investment on the Atma. So these are very very important and potent verses. So he says, Avinashitu tadviddi ena sarva mudam katam vinasham avyayasya asya nakaschit kartum arhati. So we keep talking about liberation, liberation, liberation. You can write it down. Liberation is equal to self-reliance. Bondage is equal to material reliance. Outside reliance. Reliance on outside forces. So what is bondage? You know, bondage is being dependent on the outside things. Liberation is what? Being dependent on your resources. There was a time when people used to be involved in agriculture. They used to make whatever food was necessary for themselves. Used to be growing in their own garden. Right? Now everything is dependent. If you carefully analyze today, the problem is slowly, slowly we have become dependent on so many outside things. We have no control over the outside factors. I have control over myself. How do I know what will happen there? I have no idea. There is this body called OPEC, which controls the price of the petrol and all that. The oil prices, you know, I am told it is about over $85 now.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
How much?
110.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know where it will go, whether it's going to come down. We have no control over it. So, outside forces, if I'm dependent on something that which I have no control over, and something that is inherently perishable and changing, I will be stressed. Therefore, I must be self-sufficient. Self-reliant. Therefore, he gives this verse. Atma is eternal. Atma is Satya. Atma is Nirakara. Atma is Sarvagata. All pervading. It is all pervading. It is formless. It has independent existence. It is beyond time, beyond space, beyond causation also. There is nothing that can cause the destruction of Atma. So a person who relies on himself is strong. Somebody who relies on outside factors is weak. So who is spiritual? Spiritual person is one who relies on oneself. This is not to say that he will not contact the world. But even when he contacts, his reliance is only upon himself. He may contact, he may not contact. But always he is only self-dependent. Is not dependent on the outside factors. Verse number 18. Antavanta ime deha ha, antavanta ime deha ha, nityasyokta sharirinaha, nityasyokta sharirinaha, anashino prameyasya, anashino prameyasya, tasmadyutya swabharata, यस्माद्युक्त्य स्वभारत अन्तभन्त इमे देहाः नित्यस्योक्ता शरीरिणः अनाशिनो प्रमेयस्य तस्माद्युक्त्य स्वभारत तस्मात् युद्धस्व भारत भारत अर्जुन देयरफॉर फाइट युद्धस्व देयरफॉर फेस द चैलेंज डोंट शो योर बैक एंड रन अवे देयरफॉर डू योर ड्यूटी बीइंग अ क्षत्रिय इज टू फाइट दिस बैटल हिन्स इज दिस फाइट इज नॉट सेइंग एवरीबडी मस्ट बी फाइटिंग विद ईच अदर तस्मात् युद्धस्व देयरफॉर फाइट ओ अर्जुन Why? What is the reason he gives before this conclusion? He says, "Antavanta ime deha." He spoke about Atma being indestructible in the previous verse. So, if Atma is indestructible, what about this body? He says, "Antavanta ime deha." These bodies, your body. Bhishma's body, Drona's body, anybody's body, even Lord Krishna's body, for example. Lord Rama's body. Even if it is an avatar, the body Mr. Krishna, the body of Mr. Krishna had a beginning, it will have an end. It had an end. Okay? So antavanta ime deha, but the shariri means that which is within the body, that which is located in the body, that which is located within the body, even though all pervaded, where you located? You located within your self, within your personality, within your layers. These bodies of the embodied, which is eternal, this shariri who is to be found located within the body is eternal, which he already spoke about in length, is indestructible, which also he spoke about. Then he says aprameya, immeasurable. Aprameya means something that is not an object of knowledge, something that is not an object of knowledge. Prameya means object of knowledge. Aprameya means never an object of knowledge. Never an object of knowledge means what? You cannot know it. You cannot see it. You cannot know it. You cannot know it. Is it because it is not there, therefore you cannot know it? No, no. It is something which is always there, yet you cannot capture it with your intellect. In fact, without which you cannot know anything, it is that which makes you know, remaining aprameya. This is important. Without Atma, you cannot know anything. Behind everything that you know, what is there?
Atma.
But Atma cannot be known. What is enlivening the dreamer? When Shweta, the waker, who is Shweta? Shweta is there? Waker. Waker. Atma has no name. Shweta is the waker. When the waker Shweta goes to sleep, And then, let us say, she is dreaming, and in the dream her name is Shruti. Shruti is experiencing a dream world. Okay? Shruti can never know Shweta. And behind Shruti knowing everything in the dream, Shweta is there. Shweta's mind say Shruti nikla. Not only Shruti, the whole dream world. So Shruti knowing everything in the dream is possible because of Shweta eliminating it. But Shruti can never know Shweta. Shruti can only become Shweta. When Shruti wakes up, she becomes Shweta. So don't waste your time in trying to bring Atma in a test tube. Ye Atma hai. Some of you next week when you come, can you bring Atma in a test tube? Atma is not an object of comprehension. It is actually the observer. Not what is observed. It is not what you see, but what makes you see. It is not what you hear, but what makes you hear. It is not what you think, but what makes you think. It is not what you feel, but what makes you feel. Keno Upanishad makes it very clear. Yat chakshu shana pashyati, yena chakshu bhumshi pashyati, tadeva brahmatvam viddhi nedam yadidam upasate. That alone is truth, reality, God, not what you people worship here. Never waste your time in trying to conceive Atma. Your perceptions, actions, emotions and thoughts are enlivened by Atma, but Atma cannot be perceived, cannot be achieved through your actions, cannot be felt by your emotions, cannot be known by your thoughts. It's apraneya. So these bodies are said to have an end, but Atma is eternal, indestructible and immeasurable. It is inconceivable. It is not something that is an object, but it is a subject. But subject never ceases to be. Through your eyes you see everything, but can you see your own eyes? You can't. A pair of tongs is used to hold, for example, you use your palms to hold everything. Can you hold your own palm? Pair of tongs is used to hold the objects, it cannot hold itself. Prameya. It is inconceivable. So shariri is a word which is very important here, because the focus is, it is located within. Don't try to know it. It is you yourself. It is within. It is though all pervading, it is within you also. It is within this body also. Within this mind also. Within this intellect also. It cannot be known by the intellect. Don't waste your time. Don't try to measure it. Grasp it. It's impossible. So,
Atma is something, which has no definition, basically. It is something that cannot be.
You can't define Atma.
Yeah.
So there are no words.
There's a person that realizes your true nature. So, what is that? I mean, that is Atma, when we say you come to realize your true nature.
Yes.
But it's something that can be defined.
Yes.
So, what?
Because all the definitions are with the equipments. The equipments are finite. How can you define infinite with finite? It's impossible to be defined. They can only give you pointers. They cannot define. Strictly speaking, you cannot define Atma. Anything you define and try to grasp it with your intellect is finite. If it can become the object of your comprehension, then it is not infinite. Atma is infinite, formless. Space, for example, you can't see, you can't smell, you can't touch. It's a concept. Right? Atma is much subtler than space. Space is not there in your deep sleep, but Atma is there.
Then what is realization?
Becoming Atma, knowing that you are Atma.
Exactly.
When we say becoming, so we have to use some words.
Yeah.
So knowing means becoming, means knowing that you are Atma. Even
but
before...
But we don't know what Atma, I mean we can't define Atma. So then what is that knowing? You mean to say knowing...
Can the dreamer define the waker? Can the dreamer define the waker? No, dreamer cannot define the waker. When the dreamer, when the dream world folds and he wakes up, then the dreamer becomes the waker. So it's only the waker who knows the waker. Dreamer can never know the waker. Even though the original nature is waker, the dreamer can never know the waker. But when he becomes the waker, then he knows the waker. You cannot understand. You are trying to understand Atma.
Yes.
You cannot understand Atma. These are the definitions given. It is eternal. It is beyond time. It is beyond space. It is beyond causation. It is inside you. It's outside. You know, all these are pointers. But you cannot try to understand Atma through this. By using these pointers, you dissolve the individuality. That is all you can do. But trying to keep the individuality, you can't try to understand the infinity. That is not possible. If you, that is why I said, don't try to put Atma in a test tube and try to understand it. It is not something that is an object of comprehension, but it is a subjective apprehension. Okay? So, I hope you understand what is the meaning of not an object of comprehension but a subjective apprehension. It is not an object of comprehension. What do you understand?
You cannot understand.
You cannot understand it, but it is the subjective apprehension. It is the subject and it is not the object. That's what it means. It is the very subject. You can't put yourself outside you and try to see you. Can you? Like they show in the movies and all, they show, no? Bollywood movies they show. Sometimes that conscience is speaking. It's about to murder somebody. So they show that his conscience has come. Usually they show it through the mirror. Somebody, his own image, comes and speaks. Don't do it. Then he says, no, I want to do it. Then don't do it. It goes on, right? It's like that. It's possible. They're trying to show it in the movie. But is it possible, strictly speaking, that you can pull yourself outside you and then see you? You can only see you with the help of a mirror. Isn't it? You can't see yourself. So you are the subject. Atma is the subject. That's what they're trying to say. Atma is the subject. It is not the object. In the sense, for example, anything external is not Atma. And the moment you say something that I know, what you know is outside you, not you. Listen, you are the subject knowing something outside you. So here he says it is aprameya, never an object of knowledge, never an object of comprehension. Something which is ever existent, it is immeasurable. All the bodies, all the bodies means the bodies of sages, saint, good soul, bad soul, ugly soul, everybody, demon, divine, whoever it is, all these bodies are said to have an aim. But Atma is something that is not going to have an end. Why? Because it never began. Something which never had a beginning, how can it have an end? And therefore Krishna now comes to a conclusion and tells Arjuna, therefore fight. What is the connection between these definitions and therefore fight? Arjuna's problem was, how can I kill Bhishma? So he is telling Krishna, what Krishna is telling Arjuna now, that Arey Arjuna, you are thinking Bhishma to be this body. That is where the problem is. Your whole perception is with reference to the body. Go deeper. It is in fact a sin to identify with somebody's body. When I look at you as a body, I'm committing a great, grave mistake, because something that is beyond the body and infinite, I'm trying to reduce it to the body level. So Lord Krishna is telling this to Arjuna. He is saying, you are saying, how can I kill Bhishma, Drona and all these people? Why are you looking at them from the body point of view? They are actually Atma. And whether you kill them or not, that will come to an end. Something that is going to come to an end, not only something that is going to come to an end, something that is already moving towards an end. That is what we need to understand. That's why I told you when we spoke about Gatasun and Agatasun, I told you it can be looked at somebody who has come and somebody who is gone, or it can be looked at as somebody who is gone, somebody who is going. We are already, you know, it's a pipeline. It's already in the pipeline. So why are you looking at them from the point of view of the periphery? Look at them from the point of view of the center. And I already explained to you the difference in the angle with which you view brings about all the difference. When you view the whole thing from the periphery, vis-a-vis viewing the whole thing from the center. Just that shift, the paradigm shift, makes all the difference. Nothing has changed outside, but it is just the shift in viewing. One is viewing out of ignorance, other one is viewing with knowledge. Then there is no problem. So he says, these bodies of the embodied, which is eternal, indestructible, immeasurable, all these are to the embodied, not the body. The bodies are said to have an end. When you read this translation, you have to be careful. He says, these bodies of the embodied, comma, which is eternal, indestructible, immeasurable. So eternal, indestructible, immeasurable is something that goes to embodied. Shariri. Together, these bodies are said to have an end. And where is it? To be found within the body, located within the body. Don't try to find it outside. You venture, however sincere you may be, but if you venture to find Atma outside, you will never locate it. It has to be located within you. Like Atashatma says, it is difficult to find happiness within oneself, but it is impossible to find it elsewhere. So, therefore Arjuna, fight. Understanding this, go about doing what you have to do. A lot of us are worried, oh, I have started this, I have got children, I hope I don't die before they grow up, I hope I will be able to do everything, and once they settle, then I die, it's okay. You know, all that he's saying is this, don't even bother about these things, just continue. In fact, bothering about it, you will die premature, because you already started thinking about death. As you think, so you become. They say people who so much worry about their body and continuously go for discus conductus, they usually, you know, you find them. Usually find them having all sorts of disease. Now this doesn't mean you live carelessly. Just do what your obligation is, your duty is. Here in the case of Arjuna, it is to fight. Understanding this relative and absolute reality difference. In the relative sense, whatever you have to do, you do. Something that is inherently perishable will perish. By you thinking about it, oh my God, it will perish, I only hope it doesn't perish, or it will last for a few more years. By thinking about these things, can you do anything about it? Instead of thinking about those things, simply function. That's all Krishna is saying. Wasting your time. You see, all of us are wasting our time in all these things. Instead of wasting your time in all these things, simply lead a healthy, hygienic life.
Text to begin without doing any prakran. So, if Tantra Bodh or Kuchi is very thorough, Sakya Sath Kare, or two chapters. I'm just speaking for myself. We've done it, so it's much easier to understand the concepts. Just answering her question, how do you know the Atma? Until
How do you? You can never know the Atma.
Yeah, you can never. That is what I'm trying to answer. प्राकरण ग्रंथ का कोई थोड़ा सा बेस नहीं हुए देन इट इज ये समझने में बहुत मुश्किल
है.
अंडरस्टैंडिंग
अंडरस्टैंड व्हाट यू आर सेइंग, बट देन इफ यू गो टू तत्वबोध आर एनीथिंग फॉर द मैटर, दे आर ऑल्सो व्हेन दे टॉक अबाउट आत्मा, दे आर ओनली गोइंग टू गिव यू दीस थिंग्स. दे आर ऑल्सो गोइंग टू से दैट आत्मा इज नॉट समथिंग दैट यू कैन अंडरस्टैंड. So whether you go to Tattva Bodha, they are not going to make you understand Atma. They are only going to tell you that you can never understand Atma.
Can't understand.
So Atma is something that is beyond
understanding.
You should understand that.
Atma can be explained in this bottom. Can we say Atma can be experienced after that when you become Atma?
See, we are using terms here. When we say experienced, it can also be criticized in the sense when you say experienced.
Yeah.
There is an experiencer experiencing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? But I understand the spirit in which you are saying. The spirit with which you are saying is right. That's what I'm saying. You can only wake up and become the waker. The dreamer cannot understand the waker.
Yes.
He can only become the waker. So whether you study Tattva Bodha, in Tattva Bodha also,
yes,
they will have to give you the same example and explain you. So it's not going to make much of a difference to you.
Yeah, but supposing what you're saying, supposing that like, it's a simpler example, like when I can say I am trying to be calm, so it is Shweta trying to be calm. okay, I'm conscious, oh, I felt, wasn't calm, I'm trying to be calm. But it will always be Shweta trying to be calm. And then there is a state when I am calm. At that point of time, you don't realize you are calm or not calm, but you are calm. That is your state. So if you are experiencing calm, so it's not that at that point of time you are thinking that, oh, I am calm.
No,
but that is your true nature. That's what you're
saying. That's your true nature. But you know.
No, it's a feeling. Yes. But see,
Atma is your true nature.
You can define
Atma is your true nature. That's exactly what she's saying. Atma is your true nature. Your name is Sadhana, right? Sadhana is a name given to the waker. Right? But Atma is your true nature. So Sadhana, using her intellect, can never understand Atma.
Yeah.
But when Sadhana dissolves, what remains is Atma.
No, but even calm, how can you define? It's a feeling. It's an experience. You can't, like, a lot of words you can't define in. It's not that you can define it in words.
No, please understand this. When a thing is subtler, they bring in symbols to communicate it. But when it is something much, much beyond even subtle things, subtlest of the subtle, even symbols will not help. So therefore they take you up to a point and then they say, don't try to understand. It is beyond understanding. You can only become it.
Become it.
And for becoming it, you are supposed to do whatever you are supposed to do, you do that. And all that we will talk later on. Right? So, the point is simple. Atma is beyond time, space, causation. It is eternal. It is satya. It is apramaya. It is nirakara. And that something you cannot try to understand. All that you can do is become the self by going beyond your desires. And further, what you have to do, we'll further talk about it in the next few chapters. Right? So with this, we'll conclude today's session. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purna Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.